4, IV 4, number 4, the salvation of the Gentiles. Let's listen real closely, and I think Brother Moore is going to help us see some of those distinctions. Okay? Our Bible teacher, Brother E.C. Moore of Pensacola, Florida. And here's Brother Moore.
Well, you're turning your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Appreciate you watching today, and I would suggest that you get your pencil and a piece of paper and be ready to write down the scripture references. I'd love for you to study them and see for yourself whether the things that we say are true.
Okay. I'll interrupt Brother Moore for just a second. Go ahead, Ephesians. You're asking me to wait. We'll interrupt it for just a second here. I believe this tape will help. Sure do, but if you want to continue your question, Ephesians, go ahead and I'll just give you a chance to do that. If you want to continue. Okay. All right. Very good then. Let's continue with Brother Moore.
We're talking about the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul referred to those Gentiles to whom that letter is written. And he said, you in time past were Gentiles in the flesh. And he says in Ephesians 2 verse 12, that at that time, and that's obviously time past, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. And so our chart that we have on the board here, we've used for the past several weeks, we're dealing with Gentiles in general. And these Gentiles to whom Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians, we're discussing their past condition. We've already discussed that. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had to be a reference to the past, because Ephesians 2 verse 12, he said, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ told the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Romans chapter 15, Paul said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Well, if the Gentiles in this present age were in time past aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and not in the covenants of promise, then there is no way by any stretch of your imagination can you say that Jesus Christ's ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had anything to do with Gentiles in this age. Therefore, the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, can't possibly be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The message of grace, the message of salvation, couldn't possibly be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because that has to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ as the apostle to Israel, as in Hebrews chapter 3. He was an apostle, the passage says. And during that time, he was confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Gentiles that were not allied with Israel at that time could not have been a partaker of those promises confirmed at that time. So we know then that time past had to include Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But time past, doctrinally speaking, would have to include the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the ministry that is given to the 12, the ministry that he taught the 12 to perform, that ministry begins to be carried out in the book of Acts. At that time, Paul is going to the Jew first, and he's preaching repentance to Israel and so forth at that time. And he says in Acts chapter 13 that he's in the synagogue, by the way, and he says, unto you, the children of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this message of salvation sent. So I know that time past doctrinally would have to include the book of Acts. In other words, you couldn't find the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, in the book of Acts. How would you go about it? Would you teach people that they ought to follow the Apostle Peter when Paul said, "Be ye followers of me"? Would you teach people that the church, which is the body of Christ, had its origination in Acts chapter 2 at Jerusalem? Or would you say that the church, which is the body of Christ, had its origination outside of Palestine through the ministry of the Apostle Paul? Would you teach people that they ought to not store up, lay up? Jesus Christ said, "Lay not up treasures on this earth." And in Luke chapter 12, he said, "Sell everything you got." And in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, they did exactly that, and nobody rebuked them for having done that. So would you teach people that they ought to sell out everything they got and lay it at the feet of some preacher or teacher today, and distribution be made unto all people, have all things common? Or would you teach them to be as Paul said, the fathers ought to lay up for the children, and he that cares not for his own, but especially they of his own household, have denied the faith and worse than an infidel? Which would you teach them? We're talking doctrine now. In other words, the doctrine for the church, I'm saying, is in Romans through Philemon. The doctrine for the church, not in the book of Acts. Now, I know that all the Bible is written for our admonition and our learning. I know that I can find doctrine in the book of Acts to establish certain truth. I'm well aware of all that. But I wouldn't teach people the doctrine of the book of Acts for the church, which is the body of Christ. I wouldn't teach anybody to be saved, they need to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. I wouldn't teach anybody that they need to expect the coming of the Lord, as in Acts chapter 1. This same Jesus whom you crucified shall come again as you've seen him go into heaven, second coming of Christ. I wouldn't teach them that kind of thing, would you? So, I'm referring to the condition of Gentiles in time past. Your condition at that time would have been that nobody would have had any particular thing to do with you. Then in the future, during the tribulation, the doctrine of the book of Hebrews obviously is not the Gentiles. Are you a Hebrew or a Gentile? But it doesn't really make any difference, does it? Why? Because during this period of time, there is no difference, Paul said. All have sinned. There's no difference. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. There is no national preeminence in this age, and therefore the book of Hebrews couldn't possibly fit in this age. Why? Because it's written to Hebrews. And the doctrine of the book of Hebrews is not the doctrine of the dispensation of the grace of God. These things are brought out very clearly, as in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, the individual who had repented of his sins, been baptized for remission of sins in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if he fell away, according to Hebrews chapter 6, it was impossible to renew him again under repentance. Well, I don't know anybody that teaches that today, do you? Yet they say the book of Hebrews and the doctrine of Hebrews written to the church. Somebody is nutty. Somebody's gone off their rocker. Somebody's out of the way somewhere. Hebrews is not Gentiles, and Gentiles are not Hebrews. And the doctrine is to Hebrews. The Hebrew, as in the case of that doctrine there, is warned that he should not let the things that Jesus Christ spoke in his ministry back here, read it, Hebrews chapter 2. He should not let those things slip. For if the word spoken by angels in giving of the law, if those that disobeyed those things ended up in death, how much more should we, he said, take heed. Well, that can't be in this age of grace, because Jesus Christ, according to the things we've already been discussing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was going to Israel, not the church of the body of Christ. So the doctrine then of the book of Hebrews is a continuation of that doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in the future, the Gentiles then, for their salvation, must bless Israel, as in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 on, if they're to get into the kingdom. In the past, they blessed Israel to get the message. In this age, Israel is lo ami. Where is the Israel you're going to bless today? The Israel under God is no more. Now, I realize that in the future, as in the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ said that Elijah shall come and restore all things, And I realize that Israel will be regathered in the future. I realize they'll be put back in their land. They'll be given that land. I realize they'll repent. They'll turn to their God, and on. And God will bless them in the future. And during that period of time, Gentiles can be saved through blessing Israel. But not right now. They're lo am I. They're not God's people. And until God regathers them, we're not talking about some drifting back into the land by a few Jews here and there. We're talking about when God gathers Israel, as in Ezekiel chapter 36 and numerous other passages, God will gather them, and God will gather them into that land, and God will deal with them through His prophets at that time. But today there are no prophets to Israel, and any man that says he's a prophet to Israel today is treading, he's wasting his time. He's walking against the wind. The preachers that God Almighty called today are the preachers that God Almighty called to preach the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is the gospel that's given to Paul for this dispensation of the grace of God, according to Ephesians chapter 3. And it has nothing to do with Israel in the tribulation. Now, will you turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 15, the Bible said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, what I'm talking about in all of this is not so much dividing God's word up as dividing the truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of Christ. Notice how it's used in the context where it's referred to. Look at verse 18, a reference to two people who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. Well, then, the truth there is associated with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice back in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Please observe what he did not say. He did not say, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. He did not say, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to Peter's gospel. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why put the emphasis upon Paul's gospel? Look back in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Well, go to verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Go to verse 8 again. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David is raised from the dead according to my gospel. The things thou hast heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men. He didn't say commit the minister of Peter to faithful men. He said, be ye followers of me, the things you heard of me. Remember that Jesus Christ according to on and on, is raised from the dead according to my gospel. Then the emphasis of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15 has to be upon Paul's gospel. And therefore the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as referred to, that from which these men had erred, would have to be Paul's gospel or Paul's preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, well, they're both the same. No, they aren't the same. When Peter preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 2, he preached that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David. Paul never did. Not one time in Romans 2, Philemon, did Paul ever imply that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David, and that we're to look for him to come back to reign over the children of Israel. No way. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the manifestation of Almighty God. In resurrection, Jesus Christ is Almighty God. He is the image of the very invisible God, the creator of heaven and earth, and on and on. Well, the King of Israel could be the creator of heaven and earth. I'm well aware of that. And yet the emphasis on the heir to the throne of David is not the emphasis that he's the creator of heaven and earth. the truth, as is referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, is the gospel of Christ, and by comparing Scripture with Scripture, that is unmistakable. Go back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians and see if it isn't. Hold on to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There is no doubt about that. Hold on the passage. Go back to 2 Timothy 2 again. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, a reference to Jesus Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It is unmistakable to every Bible believer. And if an individual rejects that, he is not a Bible believer. Then I know that the word of truth as referred to in 2 Timothy 2:15 has to do with the gospel. What am I to do then? I am to rightly divide the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul under the Gentiles. Now, with that in mind, turn please to 1 Corinthians. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 17. For if I do this thing, preach the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. In other words, if Paul preaches the gospel without any pressure, he does it willingly, desirable, and whatever, he will gain the reward. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that that is true. He will gain the reward. He said, I've kept the faith, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, hence there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Well, I know then that Paul willingly preached the gospel. In fact, he was very desirous to do so. All right, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, Paul was committed a ministry. He was committed a gospel, and he was to preach that gospel. Now, why was it necessary that he preach that gospel? If he wanted to win the reward, he must of necessity preach that gospel. But if he didn't preach that gospel, he would lose that reward. In other words, for Paul to gain the reward that is referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the crown of righteousness, he must preach the gospel that was committed unto him. And you better listen to my voice. So it is with you. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For of the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work remain after he's tried with the fire, he'll receive a reward. You know what that tells me?
All righty, I'm sorry about that. Yep, I'm back. I don't know what happened. Telephone problem or some more electrical problems or something. I'm just going to fade Brother Moore right back in. I rewound the hi, Ms. P., and Wren and Jasmine, all of y'all that have just come in. I don't know what happened, but I rewound a couple of minutes, and we're going right back to it. Okay, here's Brother Moore.
rightly divided. You that just scramble the Word of God up and you just pick out of there anything you choose and throw it at the people, even though you may be saved by the grace of God, even though you may believe the gospel of Christ and saved by the gospel of Christ, believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, you will not receive reward. You are not faithful. You have not kept the faith, and you're not doing it now. And you're not laying upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. You're laying upon that foundation wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because you're doing what you're doing out of selfishness. You're doing what you're doing for applause. You're doing what you're doing for praise of men, and you're getting that applause and that praise of men now, and therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, your rewards will go. Your works will burn, having been tried with fire. Now, how do I know this? By putting passages together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, if I do this thing, what? Preach the gospel. Verse 16, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If Paul carried on that ministry given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, if he was faithful in that ministry, and he said he had been in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if he was faithful, fought a good fight, kept the faith, then he would be rewarded with the crown of righteousness. But on the basis of the passage, if he did it against his will, or if he refused to do it, a dispensation had been committed unto him. In other words, a gospel dispensation, a dispensation of grace, all of that had been committed in the Apostle Paul, and whether Paul carried out the ministry God gave to him or not, was strictly based upon his free will. He willingly can do it and receive a reward, or he can balk and rebel against that ministry and lose the reward, but it's Paul's choice. He can do whichever he will. Now, there is no doubt about it then. There is a dispensation of the gospel. I'm going to say that dispensation of the gospel, doctrinally speaking in your Bible, is Romans through Philemon. Where would I look to find the gospel of Paul? Well, I'd find it in Romans through Philemon. What is that gospel? Paul said to the Roman in the Roman letter, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, did you ever think about why Paul would say a thing like that? Is he saying, I'm not ashamed to stand on the street corner and preach? Is he saying, I'm not ashamed to get on the back of a pickup truck and some mall parking lot and scream through a loudspeaker to people coming out of the movie houses and whatever, you're going to hell! Is that what he's talking about? Is he referring to walking down the sidewalk behind some lady and telling her she's going to hell because her dress is too tight? Is he talking about he's going to walk out to the beach and tell everybody out there you're going to hell because you got on bikini bathing suits out here? Is that what it's about? You know the answer to that is negative. No, that's not what he's referring to. It has nothing to do with it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In other words, the one that died at Calvary was deemed a sinner. The man that died on Calvary, Jesus Christ who died on Calvary, died as a criminal. He was numbered with the transgressors. They believed that he was a criminal. They believed that he deserved to die. And so they put him to death along with other criminals. And yet Jesus Christ died for Paul's sins. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. In other words, I'm not ashamed to claim the one that they put to death as my Lord and Savior. They counted him as a criminal, but I know that he was the manifestation of the Son of Almighty God, and that he died for my sins at Calvary, and I'm not ashamed to proclaim him as my Lord and Savior. So he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, what is the gospel of Christ? Well, he tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, then I know what the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul is. The gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul is the good news that Jesus Christ died for the sins of men. And that's brought out clearly in Timothy. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 3, a reference to praying and whatever for those in power. Verse 3, for this, the idea that you pray for these men in charge, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Back here in the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ said to the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 15, he said, I'm not sent but of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, you men of Israel, he said, you men of Judea, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, on and on and on. It's unmistakable. Paul's message, God will have all men to be saved. Here they are over here. No distinction, black, white, yellow, whatever. God would have all men to be saved and come of the knowledge of truth. Doesn't make any difference who you are. Doesn't make any difference what color you are. Doesn't make any difference what your moral character's been down through the years. God's will is that you be saved. And God proved that He will that you be saved by giving His Son to die for you at Calvary. You want to be in the will of God? Then trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's simple enough. Somebody said, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, the best you could do would be to trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Well, then Jesus Christ died for all men. So what's the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died for all men. So the word of truth, what is the word of truth? It's the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for all men. Well, where do I find that basic truth? I find that in Romans through Philemon. In the book of Acts, that is not the theme of the book of Acts. In the book of Hebrews, the emphasis is upon Hebrews. In James, James is written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad and on and on. Where do I find this basic truth? I find this basic truth in Romans through Philemon. So, time past, the condition of Gentiles, they were without Christ. Time future, they'll be in derision if they reject Jesus Christ. How about right now? Any old way, just as long as you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you were doing while you're there. Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary, became your sin at Calvary, and God judged you in Christ at Calvary if you will trust Him as your Savior right now. You can come to God today through Jesus Christ if you will receive Him as your Savior. Will you trust Him right now? I thank you for listening today. Until next time. Good day.
Okay, thank you, Brother Moore. Now, boy, I'll tell you, if that's good news, huh?